Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the VR Chat Show. It is a pleasure to have you with us today. My name is Alex VR, and I am the host of today's episode. We are coming to you from inside of Rec Room, inside a custom room that has faithfully recreated the world of Winds and Leaves, the new PSVR game that has recently come out. And joining us today is Alex from Trebuchet Games. Hello, Alex. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for inviting me. I'm really impressed with the environment you created. It's like in the game.
You know, I would love to take credit for it, but I really can't. There are some amazing artists here that are a part of the VR Chat Show. We have Velp, the show editor and animations, here joining us. We have Noctado here in the house, an artist. Misery, Betty, Mystery, and Ondog, all artists who help bring this world to life. So thank you guys so much for all your hard work in making this show happen. Also joining us here on the VR Chat Show couches are some amazing YouTuber friends. We've got Skiva, my friend and co-host of the Between Realities podcast. We have Betty of Creeper Betty PSVR, and we have Jason of the Livinator VR. Thank you guys for joining us. So Alex, let's get to know you a little bit better. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your history with the games world and the history of Trebuchet for those who are unfamiliar with your company.
I'm Alexandre Pernod-Lopez, and the history of my gaming career is really tied to the history of Trebuchet, as I founded the company with my two teammates, Vincent, Vincent, and Guillaume, just at the end of our studies at the University of Montreal. So we were working on Prison Boss VR as a school project. And we just like, as soon as we ended up the classes, we just got to the office of our professor and we kept working like all summer, really late. And we finally shipped Prison Boss VR in August 2017. And nice. From there, we just like continue making the company survive through the participating in different events. We earned some prizes and things like that. And we worked on a second game called Jousting Time that never released like for consumer markets. It was an arcade location-based experience. So we worked with Starbreeze, before they like have fallen in deep problems, financial problems, they were having a kind of location-based division. And Jousting Time, basically, it's a jousting, medieval jousting game where you have to shout to go faster. So it started in a game jam, and we made it in an arcade game, but it was really fun with crowds. When that was possible, and we brought Jousting Time to various events and everything, and then we started to work on Winds and Leaves for the past almost 3 years.
Yeah, wow, 3 years, and now it's out. Congratulations!
Wow, thanks. Congratulations.
Yeah, and you know, and congratulations on the success of Prison Boss too. You know, I think most of us out there have heard of that game. I know you had a handful of like super viral videos and stuff like that. That must have been really exciting, releasing your first VR game and having it kind of take off like that.
Yeah, exactly. It was at this time VR was still very early, in an early stage, so the market was not like a very diversified in terms of different game genre and things you could do. So we were thinking that Prison Boss had an interesting proposition, and it was a kind of hardcore job simulator take, because we really liked the job simulator, but we thought it lacked a bit of depth sometimes. So so we tried to do something more more extensive with the crafting and the training mechanics in Prison Boss, and we were happy that it found an audience, a player base.
I feel like it always helps when a developer is making the game that they love and they want to play. You know, when it comes from a place of passion, you can really tell. And, the, you know, the customers and the consumers and the gamers, they can tell. Like, they can feel that. Yeah. They're like, yep, this is the game. You know, someone made it. Thank you. You know, so thank you for making that. And thank you for all the work that you've been doing since. And, you know, you guys originally started as a team, like, I think it was a team of three, right, for Prison Boss. And, you know, with Winds and Leaves, you started with five people. And since then, the team has grown.
Yeah, we were just three co-founders from school, as I was saying, when we made Prison Boss. And just after, we were game designers by formation, by our studies. So we didn't have all the skill set necessary to make larger games and everything. So we hired programmers, and then we hired our first artist, 3D artist, and but it wasn't like when we started Winds and Leaves and got funding to start the project, we were thinking that it would be a larger game that would need like even more different skill sets, more technical, especially as it ended up being a kind of open world VR game with like a tree generation and things like that. So it was way more technical than Prison Boss on a lot of aspects. So that's in part what got us to like grow the team to be able to make the game.
Mm-hmm, right. Maybe you should give us, you know, the elevator pitch on Winds and Leaves. You know, tell us a little bit about the game, what it's about, and what you can expect when you play it.
It's a game in which you're a creature, a lonely creature that is like stranded in a barren landscape with just a few tools. And you are like the only one capable of making vegetation grow. So you must restore life in this desolate world by planting one tree at a time and awakening ancient landmarks that that can help you find new seeds and new abilities, so you can finally like bring the life back in the whole world one tree at a time.
Nice. I had the opportunity to play it, and it really, you know, when I'm in there, it captures a lot of feelings. You know, there's a lot going on. I think it triggers a lot of emotion and stuff. You mentioned when you were making Prison Boss that, you know, you were kind of inspired by Job Simulator. Are there any games that you can say are direct influences for Winds and Leaves?
There are. Early in development, we used to explain quickly the game. It was some kind of blend of Journey and Stardew Valley. But as we progressed, we went more on the Journey side in terms of exploration than the farming side, that we because we wanted to make an interesting world to traverse. Inspirations, not necessarily in VR, but we were inspired by Subnautica, Abzu also, games like that with very slow-paced exploration, but like a great, you know, environmental narratives. So like just the world can tell a story without much words. That's something that inspired us a lot. But the main inspiration for the game outside games is an old Canadian short movie that's called The Man Who Planted Trees. And it's an animated movie from the 1980s that we really liked, where it's an old man that live in a valley that has been like devastated by war, and there's nothing growing, and he just plant seeds and make a forest over the course of his life. And that's the story that like we wanted to recreate in terms of the mood, the general mood of the game, and the feeling that we wanted to create for the players.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is a good time, Alex, to turn it over to some of our guests here and invite them into the conversation. Jason, please, what do you have for us?
Yes. Being that there's like so many action-packed or all these kind of different games coming out there, I know you kind of covered like why you wanted to do this here, but what emotions were you hoping to get from the actual players playing your game? For me, it was interesting to see you kind of going from a game where you're rolling leaves to make money to one where you're actually growing them and dealing with them in
Yeah,
their life.
we can compare, but the Prison Boss was more about the feeling of trading games. Like you, each time you make something, you can get twice more out of it, and it was really about the kind of addictive loop of just making things and earning money and making more things and everything. That's something that we liked, but. The only how do we say the connection with Wins and Leaves, it's more on the aspect we want to create like VR experiences that are different from the games you're used to see, and we always try to have the basic actions and locomotion of the game should fit like the general feeling of the concept. So for Wins and Leaves, for us, it made a lot of sense that as it was about planting trees, we wanted to be able to see the trees from a sprout to a very large tree to have this kind of feeling of awe in front of nature just growing in front of you. We wanted to be able to look very far away and still see the trees you planted before because it's some kind of feeling of satisfaction of seeing the effect of what you do with like small gestures and big impact. It was a bit of this contrast we wanted to create, and so this was really about making sure the players feel this progression of having planted something and see it becoming way bigger than what they did at the beginning. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's clear, but
Oh, no. Yeah, it's like one person can help change the world, right? That's kind of the feeling that sounds like that you're going for there. That's
with
pretty
just
awesome. I respect
a few
that.
gestures.
Yeah, that kind of thinking warms the heart.
But I think you've done a good job of capturing something kind of special. You know, there really is something captivating about like those time lapse videos of plants growing and stuff. So to do something like that in VR and see it kind of blossom in front of you, you know, first I was just kind of captivated by the plant growing, and then all of a sudden I found myself kind of looking up and having these moments where you're just like watching the stars go, you're like watching the clouds pass, and there's just like moments of serenity that exist. And you're able to achieve this very early on in the game, you know, these like moments of clarity and peace. And you know, I think what you guys were setting out to do, you've done a good job of. So kudos to that. Skiva, I know you've got something else for us here from the audience.
Hey there. I have a question about the paintings around the world that you find on the rocks. Who in the game and in the story originally painted those?
Who do you think painted those?
It's kind of open to interpretation.
Basically, the character you play is like kind of a phoenix that just reappears after each storm, and in the way we see it, it's like maybe it's your character himself in like past lives that has drawn all the things like one life after another. So it's a bit of an endless cycle, and when you start the game, it's like the beginning of the last cycle, and the end of the game, you just like put an end to this, being the last one to finish the job of restoring life.
Awesome, thanks. And for those paintings, did you find that it helped with not using actual words for the localization for the different regions when releasing the game?
Initially, it was part of what they for we wanted to have no text. Well, the minimum text possible, because first, yes, for localization, it's cheaper for sure, but it's also because, well, nowadays it's better with some headset, but we find it really like not comfortable to read text in VR, especially with the PSVR. Nowadays, with the Quest 2, and the resolution is better, but so we wanted to have less words in general. And But there was also the fact that it was a good way for us to add some guidance on what to do and give hints to the players on how the different systems work in the game. Because we wanted to keep the tutorials pretty simple, but there are some systems that are more complex with the way the trees can die based on different conditions and everything. So we try to convey some of this complex system through the wall paintings, but sometimes it's still a bit too mystic, I think. But it was some kind of balance between those two intentions that we tried to have with this.
Hey, Betty, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, Alex. How are you?
Doing good. What do you have for us?
Well, it's an absolute pleasure, first of all, to meet you. And I have to say, Prison Boss was one of my very first VR game experiences that I had. So I had a complete blast with it, you know, going from, like you said, Job Simulator and then playing that game. It cracked me up. I mean, writing Contraband, that was just awesome. So, but that brings me to flop. Going from, you know, Prison Boss to something so beautiful like Winds and Leaves, I should say, not flip-flop. but it's actually a beautiful, peaceful game. I love the sounds of the windmills, the creaking of the boards, the music when you know you've done something right, and just how relaxing and chill it is. And with that being stated, I had a couple of curious questions for you. Do the symbols represent the formula of the tree?
So there are, we have the symbols here. So there are tree symbols. One is for the leaves. It's a bit, one is for the leaves, one is for the trunk. And another is for like the bark, because the trunk is the shape of the tree. So you have three different structures of trees in the game that are different. And each structure can have like four different barks and four different types of leaves. And there are not all combination exist in the game, but there are quite a lot, and it depends on the soil you plant the trees in, because there is kind of the fusion mechanics, the merging of different fruits together. The result of a merge depend on the soil you plant the tree in. So it's like you need to find both the right soil and the right fruits to be able to make a different tree. Yeah,
that's one of my favorite parts is trying to figure out that formula to make that next tree. I liked it. Thank you for answering that. And then one more quick curious question, and I think I kind of got it when you started speaking, what are the glowing trees and the wisps that they create at certain times of the days? What is their purpose of that?
The trees that glow are the ones you planted yourself. So every other tree are just like kind of smaller companion trees. It's like the trees that grow because of the main ones. But it helps. They have two purposes, this glow, because it helps you remember the path you took, because you see the where you planted. And also the trees don't glow if they are too far from other trees, so it can help you see if they will like survive, because you need to make sure they are kind of connected to other trees to be able to survive. Lonely tree will just die and won't glow in the night. So, yeah.
You know, Alex, I got to say, I do appreciate the opportunity to dust off my PSVR. I haven't used my PlayStation VR in quite a while. And, you know, when I picked up the Move controllers, I was like, oh man, these, you know, like, here we go. And when I got into the game, I was actually pleasantly surprised with the mechanics. You know, I feel like you did a good job expressing the character and the character's limitations kind of with the movement mechanics, and you the locomotion works. You know, I typically will do everything I can to turn off snap turning, but this game, it kind of actually makes sense to snap turn in a way, because you're like on stilts and you're kind of moving in a somewhat rigid way. So to me, it really appears like the game was built from the ground up to be played with the PSVR just right off the bat when you start moving around. What was it like building for PlayStation VR? And then, of course, the question is it always going to be PSVR exclusive, or do you have plans on releasing on other platforms?
First, at the moment, it is a PSVR game. Stay for a moment. But the Move controllers were indeed quite like an old controller, and it's something that when you're used to develop with the Quest controllers or the Rift and everything, and it was quite a constraint. Just the fact that you don't have like thumbsticks, you only have like two real buttons, because the other ones are really small, so it's like they're not really usable. So we went through a lot of iterations, and I think it was when talking to Brian of PSVR on Parole, I was saying that he wanted to like take the stilt and bring them and everything, but it's something that several players mentioned, but when we tried that like a lot of time ago, it was really taking a lot of effort for the players, and as the tracking on PlayStation is really not that good, and you have a very small field of view, so yeah, it's something that that was not very usable. So we ended up making this kind of small movement with the hands, and we tweaked it so you don't need to move that much your hand. You can even like just move one of the hand, but press both buttons, and it will like detect the movement. But we added also the haptic feedback, so that you feel each step of the stilt as if you were doing real movement. So yeah, I'm pretty from where we come in terms of the different iterations. I think the final one works pretty well. For the rotation, I know for the rotation, I know that we had limited options, but in our playtesting, it has worked, but we will bring some some kind of smooth turning in the coming weeks. We are working on that. But just to finish,
well, that's cool.
For other platforms, we will have to do maybe other tweaks in the future, because we really built the game for PSVR as this is a platform that has a lot of quirks in terms of controls, constraints, and the tracking and everything. So,
Jason, do you have something to add to this?
You kind of covered smooth turning was part of my question I was going to ask you there, but I appreciate the fact that you guys put options of where to put the tools. Because for me, I have kind of upper mobility issues, so it's nice not to have to reach up, you know, far every time you're doing something. I like that you put them up high, down low, all the options there. Plus, for someone like me too, you've made it so you can do it minimal movements, so I'm not having to go hardcore like I'm exercising every time, which will make it a little longer playtime for me in the game, and I appreciate when people do
that. That's great.
Was that something that you guys kept in mind when you implemented that? Were you considering accessibility when you implemented where the tools were going?
In VR, we know there is by default a lot of accessibility problems in general, because you need like a real movement and everything. But part of the reason we added the kind of calibration box for the tools is because the studio, we have people with really different heights. Like I'm I don't know in feet like 6 feet. But some girls we have are really small. One of our artists was the baseline for the height. So we were like, we need the game to work with every kind of height for people. So that's why we added these things. And later we found out that even people with similar heights like to like calibrate in the ways we they like. So we ended up thinking that it would be something good for a lot of players that have sometimes tighter setups or don't have much space.
Definitely one of my favorite features that I was able to place them anywhere I wanted to and place so comfortably.
Actually, it was inspired when we played Blood and Truth because they have the ammo pack in Blood and Truth that you can place like this. And when I saw that, I was like, we need this in the game because it's really
nice. One more thing to add to that. I saw in another video that you were talking about being able to do tighter movements with one hand when you're doing that there. Is the game actually playable with one hand if you came down to if it came down to it, or would you absolutely need to? It would be a lot more work for somebody, but it would it still be playable? Is my question. Could you actually get through this thing?
Playable. It should be playable, but it's really you really go slower when you're when what basically we call that the precision locomotion. So it's like when you hold just the one of the move buttons. It's like when you're climbing, but on the ground. So it's the same input to raise and lower the sticks. But instead of doing vertically, you can do horizontally to like just move a bit, like I don't know, feet on one side or the other. But technically, I think it could be playable. But as I was saying, what you can do if you can only move one hand, it's like you can press both move buttons, but only do the gesture with one hand, and it should still make you go forward. So with the full locomotion, so yeah, that can be. Oh, we lost. So that can be something, but yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good to know because I know there's options on like Steam and others where you can there's like a program called Walkin' OVR where somebody can come in and assist with like a control pad or something like that. So that would be playable. PlayStation's pretty much limited on that. I've tried to work with them for a while, getting some stuff done hasn't really worked out. Hopefully that'll be more PSVR 2 or PS5 centric stuff that they'll get into now because I know they got a bigger team. But yeah, that's pretty awesome to know in general that. Most likely could be done because there's very, very limited games on PlayStation VR that one-handed players can play. So that's awesome to know that it actually could be done. Thank you for answering that. Appreciate it.
Is there anything about the PS5 that you guys will be able to take advantage of? You know, any PS5 patch in the future planned? I know that it currently already does work with the PS4 Pro.
So at the moment we are focusing on continuing to improve stability. We released a small patch this week that reduced a lot of crash occurrences, but as soon as we restore stability we are satisfied with, we will work on the addition of the comfort settings we were talking about, and then we will work on improving the PS5 experience. I don't have a clear timeline at the moment. It will depend on how things evolve, but we plan to improve a bit the resolution and have something more unique for PS5. And, yeah.
All right, Skiba, I know you've got one more question for us, right?
I do. So one of my favorite parts of this game is the music. I think it was it's just relaxing. It fits the mood of the game perfectly. Why did you choose this style of music? And who was the person who composed this?
We work with a studio in Montreal called Vibe Avenue, and they're the main composer is called FX Dupa, and is a professor in music at the University of Montreal also, and he specializes in making procedural soundtracks, like evolving soundscapes and music that follows gameplay. So we knew him from earlier, from our studies, and we really liked working with them. And they were about 10 to 15 sound designers that worked on the project also at their studio. So it was really a big part of the project from the beginning. But the art direction has changed a lot. At the beginning, we were going with something more like Ghibli's studio-like, a bit more orchestral and things like that. But we liked it, but we were thinking it's too, like, what you expect for a nature game. It was like too, so we wanted to add some twist to it. And we really liked like a kind of ambient electronic sounds and things like that. So they started to blend those influences together, and it ended up this what's in the game, and we really liked that from the first time they sent us some small samples of the new sounds they were going to, and so they went with that. And what was interesting is as the music is really adaptative and depending on what the player does, it was like a month or two ago that we really heard what Winds and Woods would sound like, because it took a lot of time to just add the instrumentation in the how it worked in the game. And so yeah, really, it's not been that long compared to the duration of the project that we've been able to truly enjoy the final audio system we have put in place. And yeah, so it was a very big part of the development to really get that sounds those sounds going. And all the different landmarks have their own identity, and there has been a lot of work on the sound design of the tools you use. The time-lapse sound were a big challenge too, because you don't want to just speed up sound. Yeah, it's really not sounding well. So they were inspired by the Planet Earth documentaries, where sometimes you have time-lapse and they just make this kind of roots growing sounds, you know, and so this was a part of the inspiration for that. But yeah, it's a really like complex audio system behind what's happening, and it really ended up very well. I think all the team is very proud of our music and sounds of how sounds wins and it's we try to make.
Am I allowed to say that I felt like I was like in an early version of the world of Hyrule from Breath of the Wild? Because I felt like so majestic. Like it's like I was literally thinking about Breath of the Wild while I was playing this game. Is that a fair comparison? Yeah. Am I allowed to say that?
Well, it was a part of the visual inspiration for the art team, because we were impressed with what they did on Nintendo Switch, which as in VR you have some kind of same performance constraints. So yeah, it was artistically it was an inspiration, but also technically how they rendered this kind of landscapes, it was something that really inspired us a lot. Yeah.
Nice. So Alex, is there anything that's kind of been unsaid, you know, something that's important that we mentioned that we haven't really had a chance to get around to in our discussion today?
No. So Winds and Leaves is out, and yeah, it's been a very long journey for us at Libshen. We're really proud to finally have shipped the game. I'm really proud of all the team and the people that made this a reality. And we know there is some issues, but we are fixing them as fast as we can. So we will continue issuing some fixes the coming weeks. And I hope everyone can enjoy a bit of serenity in Winds and Leaves.
Excellent. And I think that they will. What's the best way to follow the development of the game?
So we have a Twitter account at Trebuchet VR. It's where we communicate on the game. We also have a Facebook page, and so you can follow this, and you will be the first to hear about the next steps of the game. We And we also have a newsletter that you can subscribe on our website. So,
Alex from Trebuchet, everyone, thank you so much for all that you do in the VR community. And thank you for joining us here on the VR Chat Show today. Thank you so much to all of the viewers. Thank you to my YouTuber friends in the audience. Thank you to the artists who have helped create this amazing Wins and Leaves world inside of Rec Room. This is a custom room that you're all welcome to come and visit after this has been done.
Yeah, that's really, I wanted to add that it's really impressive, and I'm really touched with what I see. I think that all the team will be very happy to see this by themselves also, yeah.
Excellent. Well, we'll all be here to celebrate with you guys. Congratulations on the release of Wins and Leaves. Thanks again, everyone, for joining the VR Chat Show today. My name is Alex VR. I have been your host, and we will see you on the next episode. Have a great day.
Woo. Woo! That's a wrap, baby. Woo!